Next Gen with Louise Tapper on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to Next Gen on FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm your host, Louise Taffer. And for the first time in Australia, your own program about the next generation and the next breed of champions, the talent of tomorrow, not only in Australia, but around the world. I have a huge show to get through today. I chatted to the newly appointed head coach of the Olyroos, Ante Milicic, all the way from Europe, and I'll recap round two of the Youth League and also preview round three in the Youth League. And there are two Youth League derbies this weekend, and we'll hear from one coach in Conference A and one coach in Conference B. Like all of our shows, please get involved at any time by giving me a call on 03 99 44 99 99, or you can text me on 0428 933 345. Well, you're listening to Next Gen, which is dedicated to young players in football and our youth national teams. So on that note, let's start there. 2 weeks ago, the FFA announced that Caltech Socceroos assistant coach Ante Milicic will take charge of Australia's under-23 squad, the Olyroos, at next year's AFC under-23 championship in China. I caught up with Ante for about 20 minutes and we discussed his Olyroos appointment, how Ange Postecoglou has influenced his own coaching style, and also about the importance of qualifying for our Youth World Cups. Sit back and take a listen. Congratulations on your new appointment. The under-23 Olyroos are pretty much the next one in line for the Socceroos. Can you tell me a little bit about what is key for them to learn at this stage to progress to become part of that national team?
Look, especially being part of the Socceroos the last 4 years, I see so much benefit that the senior boys going through Asia and playing different types of opponents in terms of everything, culture, formations, discipline, conditions, the travel, being away from home, international experience. I really think, particularly for the boys that are playing in the A-League and haven't been abroad, just getting that international exposure, playing a lot more games in a short space of time where they have to back up recovery. I really think that's important for the younger players' development to give them the best possible chance of having an international career.
And obviously it's not just winning, it's developing the player to become a Socceroo. Is there a different focus from the U23s compared to like a young Socceroo or a Joey?
Yes and no. Look, winning is always important for our national teams, because the more you win, the further you get in tournaments and you become having more experience due to the amount of games you play. So let's make no mistake, from 17s upwards, winning is important. I mean, we want to do well in all of our tournaments, but that's not the focus that immediately sticks out to us. It all comes back to our preparation and the way we go about our things and the philosophy we have in our football, the way we want to play the games. And if you do that well, then that gives you the opportunity to win more games, and then therefore a greater experience to have more fixtures, really. So I wouldn't say that development's more important than winning or vice versa. They're both very equal in importance, and that's something that we want to bring into those national teams.
And you talk a little bit about philosophy. What's your style and philosophy, and maybe what part has Ange Postecoglou played in your own personal development as a coach?
Massive. And I'm glad you touched on it, because I've been coaching now for a while, and now working with Ange really opened up my eyes to different things as well, and the attacking mindset that he brings to the national team, both playing home and away, no matter who the opponent is. He really has a clear belief how Australian players should play the game and how they want to play the game, and I think that's been very evident and consistent in the time that he's been in charge, and I'm a very firm believer of that path, and I look to continue with that and work with that with the under-23s.
And you've had opportunities at Clubland and under Ange, and now you're a head coach in your own right. How does your role change from an assistant to a head coach, and maybe what have you learnt that is better preparing you for this job?
Yeah, well, lucky that I've again worked closely with some good coaches. I've had a bit of experience myself as a head coach with Sydney United in the NPL. So I think you know, I've already had a few meetings with my staff, just how I manage the staff and the decisions I make, and you know, just have everyone have their clear roles. And you know, we're very fortunate with the national team that we have got you know, good staff in all departments with the medical and the sports science that comes with the Socceroos. So you know, I'm really looking forward to you know, the change of role for myself, and yeah, it's exciting.
And now moving on to talk about the players. What do you look for in a player coming into the Olyroos?
Yeah, well, this tournament is I'm looking specifically at this tournament to start with. So we're looking at obviously the age bracket that's available, not only for this tournament but moving forward to the Olympics. But also at the same time, to look at availability, because it's a January window. So, you know, for example, so the boys that are playing in UK will be difficult to get released. But there are some players playing here in Europe that we're looking at, you know, their availability. But at the same time, when their competition finishes now in December, and how long a break and in what condition they'd come in China. A lot of A-League players on the fringes, or playing A-League or playing in the youth league. So we look at first and foremost their availability, you know, what condition they're in, and then we start looking at the style of play, you know, how they play in their club, how could that relate to the Socceroos and Olyroos, of course. You know, looking at two steps, really. It's not just looking at Olyroos. You've got to look at the bigger picture, which is the Socceroos, because I think it's important for those players coming into this tournament. They've got to have that ambition to become a Socceroos. So you're really looking at what qualities they have, both on and off the pitch. And you know, football's very small. You know, a lot of these coaches, we speak to one another that have worked with these players. And I must say, already I've had meetings with every single A-League club, and they've been really positive about the tournament. And you know, the information we've gathered in a short space of time, really, because to be honest, my head was stuck on Honduras for so long. So once that game got over the line, you know, I could switch the focus, you know, pretty much immediately to this tournament.
From your experience, do you think it's hard having, you know, all these players scattered around the world and in different clubs, and you know, they're being taught certain styles of play, and then when you bring them into the national setup, you know, and you might have only a limited time, you've got to kind of teach them the way that, you know, you want to play?
100%, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of people don't realise that. Like our September, October, November windows, they're great with the Socceroos, and then, you know, once you get them in November and you don't get them till March, it's such a long time, and everyone plays a different way at their clubs, different formations, and you said by the time they come into camp and we get them available, we train, we put in our style of play, you can see it takes a while, but that's why it's also very important that you have a clear way of playing, so that the principles don't change, that they stay the same. And that's also a very positive influence for our players. So when they come into camp, they know that the style we'll play will be the same. It's just there's a few little additions, a few little tweaks, you could say, when they come into camp. But definitely, like you said, getting used to different coaches, different styles, and then they come into us. You know, definitely there's a lot of work, but at the same time, you've got to be careful that it's not an overload as well. So to find that balance is really, really crucial.
And just touching back on the players, if you see a gun talent that's playing in the A-League that's only like 16 years old, are you more likely to fast-track players like that? Do you look out for those types of players?
Always looking out for players, age groups, not important. If they're playing, you know, it's been noted in the last few weeks, particularly a few of the younger boys that have been playing in the A-League. And, you know, some early develop at that age group, some are used to playing in that, some thrive in it, some have just been waiting for the opportunity. I think every individual's different, particularly at that younger age group, and you've seen recently some boys coming on and doing really well. And again, difficult to go and see them all live with how big Australia is and the ones that are scattered around Europe. But again, that's where the A-League clubs have been great, and they've really given us information fairly early about any other players that probably, to a lot of people out there wouldn't be on the radar, but some that are sort of training and doing well and they feel they could make the step up. So that's been excellent as well.
And Ante, I have to ask you, because you've obviously been in the game for a really long time, do you think since we moved out of Oceania and into the AFC, that's been a real game changer for our youth national teams to qualify for the Youth World Cups?
Yeah, massive. I think it's been great, travelling the last 4 years around Asia and when you go to these countries and you see how much they invest in their youth football in terms of games, tournament, preparation, they bring in foreign coaches. When we first into Asia, we moved there, everyone was talking about the Japans and the Koreas, but now, playing these teams like Iraq and Syria, how much Saudi invests. UAE is really a sleeping giant. They've got so much potential there. Vietnam with their population and the skill they have. You saw with the Socceroos how much of a tough time Thailand gave us. The competition in Asia has made us better. But at the same time, it goes back to probably your first question, where I mentioned that the development for the younger boys coming through Asia consistently is fantastic.
Just on that, there's been a little bit of a school of thought that players in Asia are technically superior to us. Do you think that this is true?
Oh, look, technically, our boys can play. It's just that, are they encouraged enough and have they been given that opportunity? Australia players like Aaron Moy can play anywhere in the world. Trent Sainsbury, under pressure, driving with the ball into midfield, very comfortable on the ball. Milligan, and this is just mentioning a few. So I wouldn't now say Asian players are better than us technically. Yes, they look comfortable, particularly in short spaces, in tight areas. But, Australian boys technically are well, and I think that really we've improved in that department. But again, it all comes back to being encouraged to play that way and to keep the ball, to dominate possession, to play possession in the opposition half. All those things, once you start working on it, you'll see that, technically Australian players can do that. And I think a great example of that was, I'll come back to the Socceroos playing Honduras away on a terrible pitch. And people have seen it on the TV, but, being there live, there were times there where we really kept the ball, under difficult conditions, a difficult opponent on a difficult pitch. That's for me technically, advanced. And I think that we did that really well, particularly on that day.
Do you think the quality and the type of players coming out of Asia has grown and changed over time? And from your experience, what do you think the reason has been for this change?
Yeah, it all goes down to the individual countries. A lot of those countries are still sort of producing the same type of player, and again it goes down to what they're working on and their focus in every sort of country in Asia. But a lot of times when we come up against our Asian opponents, we do the work well and we know what type of an individual you play against. And again, there's always some exceptions, but going back to the Syria game, we played a team that a lot of people didn't have a lot of information about, but believe me, they had a couple of world-class players, I would say. And people wouldn't know that from the outside, but if you started their striker Al-Soma, who Syrian player who absolutely dominates in Saudi Arabia, they've produced a fantastic player in unlikely circumstances.
Touching on the 2018 AFC U23 Championships in China, and that's in July, the Olyroos opponents are Syria, Vietnam and Korea. Do you think there's a big step up in terms of, maybe technical ability from the U20 and U17 age groups with these countries?
Yeah, technically, but I think also there you know that, Syria first game, you know, physically they're a very strong side. You know, they play with a lot of determination. That will be a completely different type of game to, say, Vietnam, which is the second game where you know that their sort of way of playing hasn't changed too much recently. And then, of course, Korea, you know all about them. They're really, really developing into a good football nation, particularly in those youth age groups. I watched an Ulsan Hyundai team here in Europe a few months back, and they really dominated against some big European teams, and they played a very aggressive 4-4-2, pressing, physically good, you know, comfortable on the ball. So again, going to this tournament, and that's what's important, three really different types of opponents, but again, the experience boys get from playing this, you know, it just helps their game.
And given that this tournament doesn't qualify for anything, is this squad of players the genesis of the squad that will take you to the Olympics in 2020?
Yeah, look, again, it comes down to availability. Who's available now and then who's available in the long term. So we're just looking at this tournament in isolation and really, again, would like to bring a mix of A-League and players that are playing overseas. So, you know, great if they could be available again for the Olympic tournament further down the track. But again, it's all about giving potential Australian players opportunities, and maybe they won't be eligible for the Olympics in a few years' time. However, they could become a future Socceroo. And I think another thing is now with the World Cup qualification being done, there's a World Cup. There's a good time now for players now to put themselves in the window because you know, there's places up for grabs to Russia.
I know you're mentioning a lot about working with, you know, some of the A-League clubs, but what's your scouting and talent identification process like? Because you'd have a fairly big job on your hands now onward.
It's not massive. It's not massive, to be honest. Yeah, look, you know, I've got myself and my assistant coaches. There's a couple of us, you know, following games in Australia, in the youth league, overseas, watching plenty of games on Y-Scout. I'm fortunate I've been here in Europe. I watched a certain player on the weekend, which is good, so I could see them live in their own club environment, which I think is also a fair gauge as well, that you see them in their club team, so they've got that familiarity as well. So we're watching a lot of games. We're putting together a list. We have to submit a list of 50 soon, and then we go from there. But there's been communication over the phone as well with players and coaches, and just doing our best really with the limited resources that we do have to cover all bases.
The academy systems in Australia that the clubs are starting up now are replacing the Centre of Excellence, which closed down. Do you think that those programs will be able to fill the void?
I think time will tell. I think you know, the important is one that all the A-League clubs need to have their own academies. They need to be functioning well. They need to have a lot more games. You know, again, I mentioned different styles of competition. You know, you look back at the Centre of Excellence, and it's a great facility there, and it's produced so many players over the years. And the competition that they had was good in the development of a lot of Socceroos. So I think that, you know, there's the way going forward with the A-League academies is good. However, you know, it's still taking time because it's all new to all the clubs, obviously. And by the time, you know, they get that right, I think we all need to have a little bit of patience as well.
Do you have some involvement in maybe measuring and assessing the outcomes of the clubs to make sure that they're teaching the players the right things that you would need for an Olyroo?
Probably to be honest, you know, haven't gone into that space at the moment. You know, my focus has been different again. So much effort's been done with the Socceroos that I haven't sort of spent too much time with those youth league academies. But I think that's probably, you know, looking under the umbrella of the Joeys and the young Socceroos to start with. And obviously, you know, the technical director, Eric Abrahams, he's heavily involved in that department.
Ante, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, how important do you think it is for our Joey's and young Socceroos to be qualifying for the Youth World Cups?
I think it's very important. Again, you qualify, more tours, more camps. You're on the world stage. You're getting exposed to that pressure. You're travelling away from home. And I'm going back now as well, talking about my own experiences. 93, young Socceroos semi-finals. The 2 years before that, 91, young Socceroos semi-finals. It's great for the players to do well. And again, results isn't everything, but it just comes down to more opportunities, more games, more exposure. I think for a player to get out of his comfort zone and to travel and to experience, that's where you develop not only on the park, but off the park, seeing different things, you know, encountering different experience. That's development, and that's why I think, for those age groups, that's important. Nothing better for a 15, 16-year-old boy to get called up into the Joey, the excitement, travelling, you know, being on the plane, you know, checking into a different hotel, training fields. That's football. And that's all part of it, and that's what we experienced with the Socceroos. We've been to some places I actually didn't know existed, the Socceroos, and then really when you see what's happening in and around the stadium and getting ready, the preparation, then the pressure, crowds, that's how you grow.
Yeah, it's a real eye-opener. And Ante, I was only in South Korea for the Under-20 FIFA World Cup in June this year. And, I mean, just to see some of the other countries and the kids at that Under-20 age group is just ridiculous. I mean, some of the players, for example, in the French national team, they're only, like, you know, 19 and playing regularly in the Bundesliga.
Yeah. And then you look at them and then you know, it gets exciting as a coach because you look at those younger ones and you think, oh, they're a player. And then, you know, a couple of years later, you go over your notes and you see, oh, he's playing there. No surprise.
Yeah.
So I love looking back at my 2009-2011 young Socceroo notes. I was fortunate to go to Egypt and Colombia with the World Youth Cups, and you've mentioned that tournament, and some of the players that kick on, it's exciting to follow.
Yeah, you and I both, Ante.
Yes, right.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on Next Gen, and I wish you all the very best with your coming months, and look forward to getting you back on the show very soon.
Not a problem. Thanks thanks for having me, and thanks for your well-thought-out questions as well.
Ante Milicic there chatting to me about his new appointment as the Olyroos head coach. Well, if you're just joining me on Next Gen, this is will be podcasted, and you can listen to that full Ante Milicic interview on FNR's SoundCloud. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, it is all the latest in the Foxtel National Youth League.
FNR. Football Nation Radio. Next Gen with Louise Tapper on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia, it's Next Gen on FNR, Football Nation Radio. I'm your host, Louise Taffer. And remember, you can give me a call at any time throughout our show on 03-99-44-9999. Well, we've already heard from Olyroos head coach, Ante Milicic, and now we're going to look at the Foxtel National Youth League and recap round two. Well, let's start in Conference B, where the round two opener saw the Western Sydney Wanderers secure their first win away for the season at the Central Coast. Now, despite some promising chances and positive play by the Mariners, the game was decided by a brace to a returning A-League player, Stephen Lustica. Now, the Mariners' keeper, Tom Glover, made some sharp saves. However, the team went down 2-0 to the Wanderers, who now make it 2-2. And the Wanderers have already tallied up 10 goals, 4, which is the most out of both conferences. Also on Saturday, the reigning 2016-17 champions Melbourne City took a flight to Adelaide, where they settled for a 1-1 draw. City's Braden Crowley opened the scoring with an assist from Daniel Alzani. And then in the second half, Adelaide United found their equaliser through a Charlie Devereaux who chipped the keeper. On Sunday, Melbourne Victory Youth opened their youth league campaign up with an away trip to Brisbane. Raw Youth, however, made up for their round one loss by taking a 4-1 win over Victory Youth. A-League player Corey Gamiro scored a header in the sixth minute, which was the Young Roar's first goal for the season. Now, 30 minutes later, Corey striked again to complete his double. Academy player for Melbourne Victory, Nu Sahavic, got one back for his team in the 64th minute, but former FFA Centre of Excellence player Mirza Muratovic slotted one into the bottom left-hand corner to put Raw Youth well beyond reach. Now, in the round two closing match, we saw Sydney FC also open their Youth League campaign after a bye in round one, and this was against Newcastle Jets Youth. And they had a hard-fought match and shared the points in a 1-1 draw. And we also saw Perth Glory and Canberra United have byes. Now, this is Next Gen on FNR Football Nation Radio. Looking ahead to round three of the National Youth League, it includes two youth derbies. How exciting. So ahead of the Melbourne derby, I spoke to Victory's head coach, Gareth Naven.
You had a bye in round one and then played Brisbane Roar away last weekend.
Okay. Look, obviously the result, if you think about the result, obviously not favourable for us, losing 4-1. But in saying that, you know, we're trying to build the opportunity for our boys to develop into football players, and that at times can be complicated. You know, we're trying to deliver a program which will obviously help them do that, and I think we've got some important staff that are obviously supporting that, their progress, to make sure that they're, you know, developing as individuals and as a team collectively. So, you know, like every week, we make errors in matches. We're successful in matches, but you know, we're trying to come back to our training sessions and making sure that we reduce the errors of our teams and individuals.
How has the transition been from NPL to the NYL season?
Well, we finished the NPL 2 season probably end of August. The players had a nice 5-week break, and then we had a 7-week sort of pre-competition phase where we get ready for the NYL. So it's been good, you know. But obviously in that period of time, probably the weakness of that is that the acquisition of friendly games, because the clubs in the NPL obviously have closed down and don't start back up until probably around now once the NYL has commenced. So I suppose match time, match friendlies, players playing matches before the NYL season starts is unavailable. So, which, you know, players like to play matches. It's important for them to play as many games as they can.
Last season, Melbourne Victory finished at the bottom of Conference A, but what were some positives for you?
Look, I think from that you get players who have the opportunity to go up to the first team, such as people like Pia Harris, who's come off the bench to the first team. You get opportunities for people to go into training and train with the first team, and you get players who have acquired A-League contracts within that period of time as well, which give them an opportunity to try and establish their career as a professional career. So, you know, if we're not really solely looking at whether we finish bottom, second, third, fourth, I mean, it's about developing players who have professional careers.
And on that note, how happy are you to see one of your players like Christian Theoharis, you know, progress to the first team?
Yeah, look, he's probably not one of my players as such. I think he's been at Melbourne Victory, so I think a lot of coaches, he's crossed their paths, you know. You know, whether it's from Darren Davies, Grant Brebner, Brian Manega. I think a lot of people have had influence over Christian in his period of time through the NTC programs. So I think I'm just probably the end of the road for our youth players, as in the coach at the moment who's looking after them. So do I have a lot of influence? Look, we just try and support and provide help that can, like I said, give them a professional career. So I think there's been many people who have probably influenced or cast a shining light over his opportunity and where he is today.
This weekend is the Melbourne Youth Derby. How are you going into this match?
They always say bragging rights for the town, isn't it? So, you know, I think that our players would be, you know, very excited about it. Whether it means something extra, I'm just the coach who believes it's another opportunity to improve, another opportunity to perform well. I've watched them play a few times. We've played one friendly game against them this year as well. So, you know, we're well aware of their capabilities, their strengths and their weaknesses. And, you know, we will train accordingly this week to make sure we're their best prepared to play them on Sunday.
And, Gareth, finally, who are some new additions that you've brought into the team this season?
We've had a goalkeeper from Sydney, a guy called Matthew Sutton, come on board. We've had three players from South Melbourne come on board, Yaz, Thierry and Maker. So they've joined us this year. So, that's our acquisitions as in new players for the Melbourne Victory Youth team.
Melbourne Victory's youth head coach Gareth Naven there chatting to me ahead of the Melbourne Derby this weekend. Currently, their opponents, Melbourne City, are at the top of Conference A with one win and one draw. Well, this is Next Gen on FNR Football Nation Radio. On the other side of this break, we'll hear from Sydney FC's youth head coach, Robert Stanton.
Next Gen with Louise Tapper on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia, it's Next Gen on FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm your host, Louise Taffer. And remember, you can give me a call at any time throughout the show on 03 99 44 99 99. Well, if you're just joining me, I've chatted to the newly appointed Ollie Roos head coach, Ante Milicic. And in the Youth League, Victory's head coach Gareth Naven spoke to me about their upcoming Melbourne Derby. And now it's time to travel to Sydney ahead of the Sydney Derby. Here's the Sky Blues youth head coach Robert Stanton.
Before we get into the weekend's match, let's chat about last season. And there were some real positives. You topped Conference B, 5 wins and only 2 losses, 24 goals for, and you made it to the grand final, which was held at the Central Coast Stadium. How did you assess the 2016-17 season?
Oh, look, that season there was turned out to be quite a good season, considering we'd come off the back of a very long doubled up with our NPL season of a huge amount of games as well, so we didn't have a lot of recovery. So we actually started quite slow in the competition, and even though it's a short competition, and somehow still managed to get to the final, which is also was our second final in 2 years. It turned out to be quite good in the sense that we saw that we've developed and had grown a bit more and further. And obviously every year you've got a change of players, certain players coming in, moving up. We also, out of that season, picked up two boys, got promoted to the A-League team, Chris Davella and Charles Lockerlingloy have both picked up contracts. So from a development point of view, it was a great season, and also from results, it was good. But we grew into the performances in that season, and which is difficult to do because you never know what players are going to drop down at the last minute, and that can throw all your structure out. They can always be difficult because it's the only time when the A-League players who aren't getting game time tend to get game time. So, but overall, yeah, very pleased with it, and another step forward for us.
You mentioned you've made finals. That was the second time. What's your secret to making the finals?
Oh, look, I think with the MYL, it can be up and down because it's because the teams can chop and change so regular because the players coming in, players coming out. So I think you need to have a sort of consistent base of players in key positions. And we were fortunate enough, the players that we have coming in were in positions where they may be less influential on the structure of the way we were playing. So we've made some developments now where a lot of our actions are very similar to Graham's. We've tied a bit closer there, which is really good. So now we're hoping it'll be even smoother for any players that don't train with us, drop in, and allows us to flow on a bit smoother. But look, I think it's just the beliefs that the players have. It's all about developing your style and developing players and performances. But at the same time, at Sydney we try and develop a winning mentality, but not at all costs. it's not result-driven, but we want to develop winners. It's a club that wants to win things, especially at Graham's level, the A-League level, and we need to at least have that mentality with the players. So, yeah, look, it's been really good. I put it down to hard work from the players and staff, and you know, you need to be a bit fortunate at times because it's a short season.
Do you find it hard when you're coming up against some of the other A-League youth academies and they have dropped down overage players who are playing in the A-League? Like, how does that kind of change?
Look, I think it's great, to be honest. I don't see it as a negative. What I see it as is an opportunity for players to test themselves. It's actually, you know, I like it when there's more players. On the weekend, we had four or five we had against playing for Newcastle. And I don't see it as a negative. I see it as a positive. The players that came down, all those players really put in a good shift. So they lift the standard of the game. So when you have a player in there that's new to it or young, they get actually more out of it than having maybe a full team of really young players. So for me, you know, at various times, the biggest benefit is the odd young ones that you have in there who get to play against a player that's maybe had 20, 30, 40 A-League games under his belt. Mm. And it's a big challenge and test. You can see if they can handle that, they're half a chance to keep growing in the development. So, yeah, like I said, for me, it's a benefit. Some people might see it as a negative and it hinders development. But with all the teams now being in NPL, there's plenty of games. We also run games in conjunction with our MYL season. So all the players are getting plenty of experience in that regard. And it's, like I said, in those games, those younger players that we have in there get to play. The only disappointing thing is when you want to drop in one or two. And like I said, a couple young ones missed out last week, and that was disappointing for them. But their chance will come, and they'll get that experience, and they'll benefit greatly from it.
Now, you've mentioned it is a short season, and I mean, really, you only have 8 rounds once you take out the bye. How do you kind of set your goals, considering that it is so short?
Well, because it's such a short season, and it can be very unpredictable, and you have to look at it from when did your season previously from NPL finish, and if you make finals like we did in our first season, it was a much more extended season. So this year our players got a longer break, so they'd had gone 2 years with very little break, so we gave them a longer break. So we expected to maybe start a little bit slower, which will hinder if you want to progress further in the competition. It's great because you get the best of both from two different competitions. The players have to adjust in both competitions, and that's where it's helping in the development of the players.
Do you have a preference, NPL or NYL?
For me, I prefer NPL, mainly because it's very challenging physically and mentally. I think the NPL is quite harder to play in because it's quite physical, so it's quite challenging on the players. And once they overcome that fear, or they overcome and they develop their bodies to cope with that, then I've seen them flourish this year in many games against some quality opposition teams. So in the MYL, like I said, it can be very unpredictable. When the senior players, they drop, if you get a 3 or 4 or 5 senior players, then it's getting closer to that next level match for the boys. And like we're the same, we could get 3 or 4 drop down, and so it's usually the same for both teams. So yeah, I like the NPL only because I find it much more demanding on the players. And the A-League is, you need to be a bit of an athlete in the A-League, and technically you need to be good, but you need to have physically fit and athletic and mentally strong.
Do you think if you could have the NYL season a little bit longer, you'd like to see that happen?
Yeah, look, I think it'd be good. Or if we could, if we didn't have an MY season and we had a program where that ran for another at least 4 or 5 weeks, that where we would play games in line with the A-League teams, and then, you know, you'd be a loaded team with players that don't play in the A-League from the first team, and a mixture of players. Would be just as beneficial, and we might be able to get more games out of that. Look, it's a tough one because all the teams obviously spread out and costs come into it. It's just a matter of, you know, what's affordable in the type of competition. So at the moment, it still works okay for what I feel when you combine pre-season games for MYL, the MYL itself, and we put games on in between the MYL and then pre-season games into MPL plus MPL. The players are getting 40 up to 50 games depending on what division you're in. It's still a great year for the players and lots of games, so plus in-house games and for the first team. So there's plenty of games. It's just obviously if you're looking outside, you look at and go 8 games, this is not really a competition. So, but when you're in where I am and I'm seeing the big picture of the program, it's the 40-odd, 50 games if you're in an MPL 2 comp where there's 14 teams. In MPL 1 we have 12, so it's 22 rounds plus pre-season games. I still think it has its benefits when you combine them both.
Run me through some of the new team additions that you have this season and what you liked about those players to bring them into the squad.
So what we've done at Sydney is we've promoted from within our academy a couple of players, Ben Coop and Marco Tilio, two boys that have come from the 18 straight into MYL. It's a couple of young kids that have did very, very well this year, along with some other boys that have come into our more senior academy program. We've also scouted some players from outside to strengthen our squad. Luka Vanovic, Hassan Gala have both come in. Two boys. Jeremy Cox is another player that's joined the program. We also have lost some players who've either progressed. Chris Savella and Charles Lockalingo have both contracted with the first team. And we also lost John Oldale, who got picked up by an overseas club, so in Heerenveen in the Dutch league. So, look, it's we've got some fantastic boys who've been in the program who have developed the game further. Sam McElhattan is one boy, Patrick Flotman, Liam McGing, all these boys have been in the program for a while. Andre Agamonis, all these kids have just been grown and developed. And as I said, opportunity is the key to making these helping these boys become better players and get to the next level. And you know, we've got a nice flow on of players that we're very happy with. And you know, we've picked up boys from the AIS program in Joel King and Patrick Sibilio, some younger ones who've come in and straight into the program and are fitting in well from their training from being in Canberra. So you know, it's another step up for them with the loading of training, and they've all been up to have time with Graham. So yeah, we're very happy. Like I said, our focus is long term with these boys. We know it's very difficult to make lots and lots of developed players in one hit. It's rare, but if we can find one or two a year, then we're very happy if we can keep developing one or two, at least one or two players who can make the step up. And I think that'll be enhanced more if there's those more opportunities that I spoke earlier about. But that's something that we, you know, has to be sorted out, and I'm sure we'll get sorted out in the future.
Sydney FC had a bye in round one, and you opened the season over the weekend against Newcastle, and it was a 1-1 draw. Take me through that game.
Our first game, so we were probably a little bit rusty, even though we'd had a few pre-season games. It's not like playing an actual competition game. We took the lead, and we probably rode our luck a little bit in that match. I felt we ran out of gas a little bit in the end and succumbed to a goal. And to be fair, it was coming because our legs had gone. So and in the end, probably a fair result. We had some moments, and they had some good moments as well. So look, overall, I'm okay with it. I think there's plenty of room for improvement in the performance. I'm not so worried about the result, but the performance we can improve. There's when I look at more detail on how we played, there's some good evidence suggesting that we were close to how we wanted to play, but we just needed to have a bit more detail to our structure and final product and things like that. So that'll come. With the new faces, it's going to take time, but overall, I'm happy that we maintained our structure and in the end, probably a fair result, to be honest.
And moving forward, this weekend is the Sydney Derby. How's prep been for this one?
Well, perhaps it's okay. We've short turnaround for us. It's only a 5-day turnaround, so that's quite short. So our training program would have had to be adjusted, and we had to put a little bit into recovery because some of the boys were hurting quite a bit. So it's a short turnaround. We've gone through all our things, tactical and all the elements that we've looked at of our opponents. We've completed our main session today. We'll do another session tomorrow leading into the game. And yeah, look, I'm happy. They're a really good team. They've performed very well from in the opening two rounds. Look, derby games for us is always competitive. Even at youth level, you know, we've done well over the last couple of years, obviously been promoted and things like that. But nevertheless, it's a very competitive game. I don't expect any more or less from Wanderers and us.
And surely all the Sydney FC's youth head coach, Robert Stanton, there chatting to me a little earlier. Well, staying with the youth league, there's been a venue change in Conference A. Melbourne City has advised that this Sunday's Westfield W League and youth league doubleheader has been relocated from CB Smith Reserve to Lakeside Stadium. Now, that round three youth league match against Melbourne Victory will kick off at the original scheduled time of 8:00 p.m. Now, looking ahead at round three, on Friday night in Conference B, we open with the Sydney Derby. The Western Sydney Wanderers host Patrick Stanton's Sydney FC at Marconi Stadium, and kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. In Conference A on Sunday, Perth Glory Youth are back in action against Brisbane Roar, and kickoff there is at 1:30 p.m. Also on Sunday, Canberra United are on the road again, and this time it's to meet the Newcastle Jets. Kickoff in Newcastle is at 4:30 p.m. Well, we open with a derby, and we're going to close with one too. Melbourne City against Melbourne Victory. And as we just heard there, that game will kick off at Lakeside Stadium at 8:00 p.m. after the Derby League. Now, the Central Coast Mariners and Adelaide United both have a week off, and we'll see them back in action in round four. Well, remember, you can send me a message on 0428 933 345, and I've just received a few messages, one in particular from Penny in Perth, who says, "Hi Louise, I'm a mad supporter of Perth Glory, and I've loved watching Jacob Italiano come through the ranks. I think he's a great player. Could he possibly be the next Harry Kewell?" Well, Penny, thanks for your message. In my opinion, I think it's really hard to tell right now. He is still so young. He's only 16, and we just want to let him play and have fun. I mean, he's already showing, you know, some great potential, and particularly last weekend against Melbourne City. I was at that game, and the step up from his first A-League match to the second one last weekend was just incredible. He was a lot more confident on the ball, out-muscling a lot of the players off it, and he was also part of some of those key attacking plays for Perth Glory when they took that win. Now, on that note, Kenny Lowe has included him in his away squad to the Mariners this week in the A-League, and it'll be his third consecutive start. So by the end of this A-League round, he'll have 220 minutes against his name, which is just incredible for a kid who's only 16. Well, thank you for your message, Penny. And as I said, I love to hear from all of you out there listening at any time in the show. Well, that's the end of another episode on Next Gen, a show which is dedicated to the Youth League and all of the young players here in Australia and around the world. I just want to thank all of my guests that I've had on the show today, Ante Milicic, Gareth Naven, and Robert Stanton. You've been listening to Next Gen with Louise Taffer. Thanks for your company, and I'll be back at the same time next week.
Next Gen with Louise Taffer on FNR, Football Nation Radio.